gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the episode. We're going to talk about, we're going to preview the Fighting Illini of Illinois. They put a beating on Nebraska 1 week before we just took on Nebraska. Two different ball games. We're going to break that down a little bit. We talk about some other factors that are causing success for Iowa right now. And we answer some questions, like, is Rob Howell ever going to come on our podcast? Just have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washer Walk-Ons fans, episode 168 of the podcast, and y'all know me as a bit of a shit talker, and for any of y'all that maybe don't like me so much because of all the things that I say and have wished me harm over the past however long you guys have known me, I've got a little story that you guys will enjoy. Today, I went to jiu-jitsu. And I got put into a crucifix and relentlessly teabagged and then humiliatingly submitted in front of my friends. So I hope y'all are having a great day. It's Illinois week. Cliver, what do you got?
Well, I think that's a great intro. I don't know if the people who are opposed to the Drake Kulik brand are going to be satisfied with that. I hope. You know, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I'll say this. He mentioned Kev. I think he's also going to run inside. And then, you know, Drake's working. He's working late.
I can respect that.
Yeah, you got to respect that, right? I mean, putting in the time. He's going to go in and tell the poker people that he's going to take a dinner. And then we're going to get him back for 20 minutes so that we can get. I mean, maybe in that 20 minutes we'll find something that that can be dramatic. Kevin, you said over the weekend, you said that you tweeted, which you don't do often. You tweeted asking for people to tell you when it was your turn to say something stupid. I would love that moment.
Funny, right?
I would really like that moment.
Are you trying to get out of the doghouse right now?
I don't really consider myself in the doghouse.
You spend a little time in the doghouse.
But whose doghouse? Yeah,
you get. I don't know. Iowa football Twitters.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, you didn't get kicked out of the house, but you're like a dog that's like running around and you break something. It's like, okay, now you got to go outside.
I think they
let you back in eventually.
Yeah, they chained me up. I think I was running loose, yeah. And they threw the leash handle around like the step or something to make sure exactly. That I don't run away. And I just don't know if Walk On Nation is gonna get the chance to see Kevin Ward say something stupid. I know that you have it in you, because it's not like you don't think stuff that's stupid.
You in person have heard me say some stupid stuff.
I would say that most of the conversations that happened down the hallway of 337 Benton, I would say 90% of those could not be aired at all.
Oh, not be aired, of course. But, I think we had some very enlightening and thought-provoking conversations in that hallway.
Well, we created an entire we did some real business meeting during our time there. I miss that place. I miss sitting in Benton, the garage door open to the back house where Josie, Bo, Ike, Drake, or any other number of players and former teammates could randomly walk in or out of our house, sit down in the front room, pop on some Game of Thrones, open up your Poncheros burrito, which has been sitting for 10 to 12 minutes because you had to go get it and then ride back on your moped. You let the queso marinate
that
a little bit.
That 10 minutes is the perfect amount of time. Let the queso settle just a little bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That queso marinade just gave me an erection.
Wow.
And he's back.
and you were back. Queso erections. Yeah, if you're eating Poncheros, for those that get the queso, which, I mean, what are you doing if you don't? You got to let it sit.
If you don't, you're an absolute peasant.
So even if you're eating there, mm-hmm. You want to get it to go so they wrap it up. Mm-hmm. You let it sit for at least 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Let the queso set up a little bit.
Yeah. You need, because the queso is really, it's the glue. It's the glue of the meal. You need to let it. Mm-hmm. You gotta let it do its thing. Anyway, I missed that time, and we had a good time there. We had a good time playing Illinois while we were in college.
The only team that we never lost to.
The only team we never lost to. Yeah, you're right. That just hit me. The only team we never lost to, and really, I guess, did we ever even come close?
How good does that feel to have on your dad, Kevin? Just being like, yeah, we're 5-0 against your alma mater.
Hey, Dad, your alma mater is a bunch of pussies.
It's a different Illinois team.
I think the 1983-84 team might have kicked the shit out of us, but that's all right. We don't worry about that.
Yeah, it's not the Fighting Illini that Beef was a part of. I think the closest game was maybe the year we won like
2015, I think.
Was it like 20-13?
No, it was like 29-20.
29-20, because we had to make 3 field goals to give us some space. I remember it.
I remember it was 26-20 in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. And Marshall had missed an extra point earlier. I'm like, mm-hmm. Sitting there, like, really wish Marshall made that extra point.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that one was a nail biter, dude. I couldn't believe I was worried we were about to lose to Illinois.
Well, that was, I mean, it was just.
Yeah, that one. Canzeri had like 45 carries, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went off that game. And one of the many in a series of games that year that was just like, there was a way that every game was close. Except for North Texas. Every game was close that year, it felt like. Interesting college football kind of happening events before we get on to the Illini and some questions from the fans and we wrap this one up. Did you guys see Kirk Herbstreit last night talking about Michigan and Ohio State and all that?
Did not.
I did not know.
So I don't know all of the details, but I believe on air on the college, the selection show was last night. By the way, Iowa up to 19th in the country.
Never would have dreamt it at the beginning of the year, dude. Proud of these guys and the way they turned it around. I really got my comments shoved up my ass, which makes me really, really happy because that means the Hawks are winning.
Yeah. which was actually going to be my first question to lead off the questions. I'm going to come back to that. 19th, crazy that Iowa State is 9th. If there's ever a year that we wanted an Iowa State-Iowa matchup, it'd be this year, and we're not going to get it. Other ranking news, Iowa basketball, 3rd in the country after a couple teams lost in the opening weeks.
Let's go.
I mean,
they're just looking too electric to be beat because of the way their team's set up. But we'll talk about Iowa basketball at nauseam later in the year.
This is going to turn into a basketball podcast.
It's incredible, dude. And it's going to turn into a late season Iowa's good at football right into Iowa is elite at basketball podcast.
Yeah.
I have a chubby.
Well, we're going to go.
Let's not forget that Iowa is state-of-the-art at wrestling.
It's going to turn into we're going to drop football completely for like 2 or 3 months, and we're just going to be an all-basketball wrestling podcast, and I'm here for it, baby. I am here for it. But football is on the menu, and Kirk Herbstreit said something about – there's been speculation from the fans, right? But Kirk Herbstreit got on the selection show and said something about Michigan potentially shutting down – the rest.
Don't tell me they're about to forfeit the Ohio State game.
Well, that was the question.
Well, it's in the books because they shut down practice or something for the facility for a couple of days.
Yeah. So.
So it's possible.
I believe that Herbstreit insinuated that they did it potentially to keep Ohio State out of the playoff or something like that. And then he got on and apologized.
It effectively would. I mean. You know, talk about a way for Harbaugh to go out. That might be the most popular thing he ever does in Michigan.
It might just start injecting his guys with COVID.
For all of Michigan Nation, they would celebrate Harbaugh. It's like him going out on his shield, you know. He's got to die, but he's going to go out with one last heroic effort.
Right, exactly. It's the last stand at Thermopylae. It's like, all right, well, we're going to lose, but you're going to lose with us or something like that.
I mean, what an asshole move that would be. Like, all right, well – he's just sitting in his office. He's like, I can't beat him.
How can we get the COVID in here?
I can't beat him. We suck. I'm probably getting fired. We're taking down the Buckeyes, baby. We're going to do it some way or other.
So that would lead to a Northwestern versus Indiana Big Ten Championship, Indiana without their starting quarterback.
Correct. And a potential Iowa-Ohio State championship weekend.
True. Speaking of which, can we all just say fuck Minnesota for not playing this weekend and effectively guaranteeing Northwestern the championship?
There'll never be something like this.
It's one of the ultimate row the boat moves, honestly.
Yeah. There'll never be a year again where by not playing you secure your spot. I mean, that's incredible.
It was a long shot, but at least I wanted to sweat it out for another month, the Hawks potentially going to Indy, you know?
Yeah, I did too. A lot of weird rules with all that's going on, this, you know, minimum 6 to compete in the championship. I saw something today that Barry Alvarez, who is the AD at Wisconsin but also sits on the Big Ten committee, they were talking about potentially changing, going back in as the Big Ten and changing the rules.
Right, because if Ohio State doesn't get in the Big Ten championship, then the Big Ten as a whole is fucked.
Right, they can't play in there's basically no way they can play in the national championship game. I saw some speculation out there, actually, John Miller, I think it was actually an Iowa State guy that does radio in Des Moines. He was talking about how, do we actually even know that Ohio State is a top 4 team? They have like three wins over teams that have 1 or 2 wins, and they beat Indiana by 7 points, who, yes, Indiana was ranked high as well, but in this weird year, the round robin kind of, he beat them, they beat them. It's a weird, like...
Right, yeah, like who's Indiana's marquee win?
Right.
Honestly, it's...
Penn State? Have
they beaten a team with a winning record?
I don't know. Because the East is so bad. And so it's hard to say. So taking a whole nother game away, being the championship especially, is would be real tough for the Buckeyes.
Right. It's a lot harder to determine who's actually good when you only play 70 games, for sure.
100%, 100%. Let's go back into some one Hawkeye question related to just for you guys. Drake, you mentioned how the boys have turned it around. I mean,
big time.
0-2, and maybe you know, after that Northwestern loss, I as a program, if there was like a big ladder, I don't know if the program has been on a lower rung of the ladder in a long time.
I agree. Absolutely agree.
Maybe the 4-8 season in 2012. I don't know.
I mean, the end of 2014 was pretty rough.
I mean, we still won 7 games that year, though.
It was rough for us, but it wasn't. We lost like 5 of the last 6, though, I think.
It was a bad
end. But it wasn't 0-2 coming off of program destruction, you know?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, they were close losses. After 2 games, Sunday, as we go into that third week versus Michigan State, what do you think the odds were? And then also, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on why and how it's turned around. I know we've talked about the schedule not being super tough, but regardless of the opponent, it's hard to turn around and go 4 straight after where we were at. I mean, just what are the chances that we start 0-2 and now go 4-0? It just seems so crazy and really polar to me. And you know, we talk about there's no quantum leap, right? I think that was in the Slight Edge. It's almost like the Hawks made a quantum leap week 2 to 3, and they just haven't looked back.
I mean, yes, they've improved throughout the year, but I wouldn't say they improved dramatically throughout the year. I think the defense has been pretty consistent all year long. You know, I think they have a better feel for who they are at offense. And then, like you said, the schedule, yeah, just turned out that way. So I wouldn't say quantum leap. But, yeah, I mean, defense playing consistent. Like, shocker, Iowa defense playing consistent. Phil Parker, who could have guessed that one?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
You know, the offense getting a better feel for itself, too.
Yeah, man,
I think the fans want more, but I think that's really all it is.
Yeah,
I agree with exactly what Kevin said. We found our
identity. You want to look back at that first game?
Go ahead, bud.
Sorry, I was going to say, if you want to look back at the first game, how did we lose that game? It was penalties. We had 100 yards of penalties.
Yeah.
How do you lose the second game? You know, I think that was more of an identity issue. We threw the ball 50 times in the 17-point lead.
God damn, you're right, we did. I don't know why we did that.
Should the Hawks be undefeated right now? Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Whatever.
Probably.
Here's what I will say. If the Hawks go play Purdue or Northwestern right now, they're favored.
Purdue, yes. Northwestern, I don't know. They had a rough game versus Michigan State. That's still a good ball team. It's going to be a close game.
I think
it's
maybe a
pick way.
But, damn, it's that what-if game. So, yeah, we're looking at Illinois, the Fighting Illini, and, you know, you're looking at a team that is not great, I don't think. They dismantled Nebraska, which was fun to watch from a I-don't-like-Nebraska standpoint, but they still sit 6 out of 7 in the Big Ten West at 2-3. They have wins over Nebraska and Rutgers, I believe. And statistically, let me pull it up. They are the 12th best offense in the Big Ten, and they are the 8th best defense in the Big Ten. So they're giving up 32 points a game. They're scoring.
What are they giving up on the ground?
Rushing defense. They are giving up just under 200 yards a game.
They are about to get destroyed.
Well, we said the same about Nebraska, and they
we did.
And we didn't
play very clean, though. You know, we gave up way too many plays that just absolutely shouldn't have happened.
You got something to say, Kev?
I mean, I was just going to say, you know, Illinois is better than people think they are. I think they played some teams pretty tough. Even at that opening game of the year, I thought they actually played a lot better than the score showed. I think they lost, what, 42-7 to Wisconsin, something like
that. Yeah, yep.
And, but, yeah, I mean, if you look at the film, like, they got guys that, they got some decent players, so.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's like a 14-point spread. I'm not really going to touch that one this week.
Yeah,
but you also have to factor in the fact that they were out with COVID this past week. So I don't know what their on-the-field situation has been. Have they been able to get practices in? Have they been able to get meetings in? So
I'm quite confident.
On this side, you know, fresh legs. They haven't played legs. Oh, a W? Yes. Yeah, I expect the Hawks to win, absolutely. Do you expect them to win by 2 touchdowns, though? That's where the spread's at.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, as a better, maybe, maybe not. But, man, looking at the numbers, them giving up just under 200 yards, us having great, great success on the ground, especially late in games, we're just wearing teams down. And we're just really hoping for Spencer to get more accurate. And if Spencer gets more accurate, I don't really see them getting us off the field very often, and that equates to a lot of points for us.
Yeah. I think we're going to manage the clock really well in this game. I just we're going to run the ball. We're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage. I think this is going to feel like a good, solid game. That's the feeling I get. Let's go into some rapid-fire questions here. I think we all think the Hawks are going to win. I don't know if these – I have not previewed these questions. So the first one, Kev, is the in the car – with the turning signal on segment going to be a consistent thing from here on out?
Depends. Do we want it to be? Should I start describing where I'm going in my car?
From Kevin in the car, maybe.
Jackson or something. Kevin in the car. Third segment.
That would be funny. People actually enjoyed that. They said that was maybe the hardest they laughed in the entire podcast. next question, which Big Ten coaches, if any, do you think get axed this year? I don't think anybody gets axed. I think the
you
COVID
don't think
pass.
Anybody.
Yeah, I don't think
Harbaugh.
I don't. Well, okay. Shit. If Harbaugh,
we talked about it last week. I think Scott Frost has at least another year.
Yep, and Franklin.
James Franklin. Franklin. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's had a good team multiple years for his tenure, and, you know, COVID year, weird years, got some of his best players out this year. He gets a pass. Who else would you think? I mean, Lovie Smith?
He's not going anywhere.
They signed him to an extension, I think, a year or two ago.
Yeah, they did. And I think the only three are Michigan, Penn State, and Nebraska, which is crazy to say if you just look at the teams that – you know, at face
right.
value.
I think if you think about it, you know, Harbaugh is the one who's got the hottest seat.
Yep.
I'd be shocked if anybody else loses their job.
I mean,
you look at Rutgers, they got Schiano back there. He's doing a good job, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Pat Fitzgerald literally will never get fired from Northwestern.
No. He'll die there.
PJ Fleck's going to live off his 10-win season for at least another 2 years.
At least. Drake?
Yeah, I was trying to unmute my mic there. Sorry, boys. I am headed back in to the Sin Palace.
All right. I'll
send you guys my picks.
Yeah, send us the picks. And we'll if
jam
you
it.
Yeah, and jam it. Just go all in. All right. This next one is funny. How can you guys play nice with Rob Howe? He came after not one, but two of you. He only did that because you are his biggest competitors and his wokeness, of course. We can have Rob on the show. We've had a lot of requests.
Wait, Rob came after you?
He didn't come after me. He okay, well, there is some speculation that you probably didn't see it because I don't even see it usually. The player media yesterday, like Tuesday media, I do not know for sure. The speculation was that it was Rob. Somebody asked Amir about my tweet in the media.
Of course.
First of all, this is really not me being like egocentric or something. Like I understand that we have the podcast and we have built a little bit of a name for ourselves. I am outkicking the coverage of being a washed up fat snapper all the names that you guys called me on Twitter and message boards. I've outkicked that coverage of the amount of relevance that we have. But in overall, in the overall picture, like, I do not mean anything to the Iowa football program. I hope everyone understands that. And the fact that I'm blown away that someone would ask that question in the media. Like, I don't mean shit.
Right, exactly. I don't get it. But anyway, where are we going with that?
So a bunch of people, including a couple teammates of ours, have asked if we're going to have Rob on the show. And you know what?
That'd be fun.
And you know what? It probably would be an entertaining podcast. I bet we would get a lot of ears on it. I
always value differing viewpoints.
I do too, and I'm very civil. Like, if you ask Kevin or Drake, any of you listeners, if you ever met me, or if you guys ask Kevin or Drake, who's the most non-confrontational person? I mean, maybe not that they know, but out of the three of us, I literally don't get into. I don't get upset. I never really like. I just don't like.
No, you're a sociopath. You have like no emotions.
It may be another podcast. We can pick that apart. nice little breadcrumb drop. You just sent one in there. I do not think that. I think that Drake might get confrontational on a podcast with Rob Howe. I think that there's
that's a fucking move.
I think that there's a really good chance of that happening, and he's still on the call right now, looking us in the face. Oh, for anyone who's watching the YouTube, or go back and listen, watch the YouTube version of this. I think it would be confrontational between them, because as you guys know, Drake just truly doesn't care. I care enough, and I'm really just not hostile enough to create a large argument, like shouting match. I don't even know what we would ask the guy. Like, you know, he is who he is, and we are who we are, and that clashes a little bit. And he has taken a absolute mountain of shit, starting with the stuff this summer and how he reported on that, and you know, kind of just recently. I stay away from it. Anyway, he asked, and then he tweeted out the video of Amir's response and didn't say anything. Like, he said, Amir answers a question about being called out by a former Hawkeye football player, but didn't say my name or, like, tag me or anything. Like people didn't know who he was talking about. So I got into some extra Twitter drama about that.
Gotta love it, man.
I would not.
Gotta be careful what you tweet, man. It doesn't go away.
I'm completely okay with that, even though I deleted the tweet. That was more to just stop the drama. I could not care less that people know I tweeted it. I think it's a good lesson learned. But for those sitting at home, I wouldn't be on the edge of your seat waiting for that Robbie Howe episode to come out. Hey guys, want to interrupt the show to let you guys know that we are sponsored by Indeed. Yes, 2020 has already changed so many things in the way that we work, and businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient every day, which means that every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit for free at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. It's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Oh, boy. What's next? Is Champaign the most miserable campus and Memorial Stadium top two worst in the Big Ten? I can't.
No, Purdue's worse. Purdue's campus was much worse than Champaign's. Obviously, you know, as you mentioned earlier, my dad went to Illinois, played there, and so we always went to games as we were kids. The campus actually isn't terrible.
I've never been.
Benson's actually kind of nice. The stadium was kind of nice. They redid it and, like, put in, like,
it's just not huge, you know?
No, it's not. It used to be a lot bigger, but they redid it because, well, it was half empty, so they like, took out a bunch of seating and put in, like, press boxes, mm-hmm. or what do you call them, box seats to,
yep.
you know, make it look less empty. But,
right.
I mean, it would be a decent stadium if it got filled up.
Yeah, I agree. As far as stadiums go, it's just – it's hard. I mean, you know – what do they call that? Ross Aid Stadium has a pretty good headlock on being the least desirable place to play. West Lafayette honestly feels like Marshalltown, like when you drive through it. So
yeah, kind of does.
Yeah. Next question, Luke. Says, this has trap game written all over it, in my opinion. With the way Petras has been performing, I struggle to think the Hawks will cover the spread. Can they cover against a shitty Illinois team? Also, as former players, did you guys ever put your effort in – Did you guys ever put your effort to covering the spread playing? one, I think we agree that it's going to be a tough game for the Hawks to cover the spread. The Hawks just – Well, I guess that's – I was just about to say the Hawks aren't blowing anybody away this year with their offense, but we actually have three games. I don't know.
See, it's sitting at 13.5 right now. That's a juicy number if you want to take the Hawks. Ah, man. I don't know. I think it'll be up to the defense. I think we still score, you know, 24 to – I guess there is no ceiling on how many points we can score.
Yeah.
You know, Illinois being a run first offense though favors Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually pretty good at shutting down the run. So, man, I don't know. I think the Hawks win. I think it'll never be in doubt, but I don't know if we'll ever run away with it.
I agree. You know? Kev, we played in too many Iowa football games, and to know that. There are more than not decided by a score less. And I will never, unless it's like, you know, McNeese State, I'm not betting on the Hawks to cover a spread that's big like that.
Throwing some absolute shade at Coach Davis's alma mater.
Oh, is that where – is he from McNeese State?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was the quarterback at McNeese State back in, like, the 50s or something.
And he just tossed that thing around or he just handed it off?
I have no fucking idea. I just remember, like, didn't you read the programs before? Like, I read the program before single game. All 5 years.
Yeah.
13 games a year.
And they give, like, the background and
the
facts.
The coach's bio has never changed, so right. I just fucking know that, yeah.
Yeah. Kev, this is a good one for you. How do the coaches approach the coin toss and the decision to defer or receive? Does it vary game to game? Is it completely up to the game captains? Small detail of the game, but one I've been curious about.
Good question. So KF always tells the captains what he wants to do. If you win, take it, kick it, whatever. If we lose, we want to defend whatever end zone he wants to that day. And, you know, I've never really asked for his rationale. I honestly think it's just kind of, you know, how he's feeling that day.
I do too.
If he feels like the offense can maybe, get things going against their defense, then, you know, he'll take the ball, which, you know, is less common for most teams to take the ball. They usually defer.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll say, you know what, I think we can get this run game going early. We're going to go ahead and take the ball, and hopefully we drive one down and score opening drive.
Honestly,
a great way to start the game. Otherwise, if he feels like it's going to be a defensive struggle and that, you know, we're going to need to get the defense to kind of get us through this one, I think he'll put it on their shoulders first. That's just my thoughts. I'm never asking about it.
Yeah, I also know that occasionally when it was really bad, he would also take the wind into account when we were choosing a side to kick to.
Speaking of which, Illinois this week, do you remember 2016? We kicked off both halves.
Dude, not good.
It worked out. It worked out great, though. So
there were two games.
I think
go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're winning like 14-0 at half, maybe. And It was super windy that day.
Incredibly.
They couldn't do shit on offense. We kicked it off. They go 3-and-out, and I think they punt it. And I think that was Riley McCarrion's punt return for a touchdown.
Yep,
so it worked
out
great.
It was incredible. There were two games. Another side note to the side note. There were two games in my career. Some of you saw and heard on the podcast that I clapped back at that one guy about not being a starter. I played in 53 games. There were two games in that 53. Maryland in 2014 and that Illinois game in 2016 where I did not know. I did not have 100% control of what was happening with the punt snap. I did not know where it was going to go. I lined up in the Illinois pregame, and I remember having to snap it about 7 yards, depending on if the wind was blowing at the moment, which it was most of the time. I was snapping it 6 to 7 yards outside of the punter's hip so that the ball would get pushed back into the punter. And
you're playing the wind like a golfer?
I was playing the wind like, and that is extremely scary because if that wind dies mid-snap, the ball is now going 7 yards to the side of the punter. But if I don't do it and the wind stays the same, the punter has to catch a curveball that goes 7 yards the other way. So those two games were incredible. And I made it through. We shortened the – you know, to help you throw it low to cut the wind a little bit, and you shorten the punter's depth from about 14.5 to 13 and just have them one step and get it out of there. But, boy, was that not fun. Let's see here. Need to know the team's feeling with regard to the quarterback situation in 2014. Was that Rudock and Beathard? I mean, I think everyone had kind of the same general feeling. It was the fact that, you know, Rudock was okay, and CJ was a really talented guy that showed in practice that he could probably compete for the job, and I think the fans and the players probably felt the same. To be honest, and Kevin, you can speak on it yourself, but most of the players don't concern themselves too much with, like, who's the starter. They just have too much to worry about themselves.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure some of the offensive players felt a little more strongly about it than either of us.
Yeah,
but, you know,
true.
I was a second-year player playing defense. I'm like, okay, he's playing. He's probably the best choice. I don't know.
Yeah.
What the fuck do I know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know shit about shit, okay?
And if we got a fucking second-year long snapper or some guy that – you know, he hurts his ankles every fucking camp. Trying to tell me who we should start at quarterback, okay? I mean, are Kluver and fucking Ward okay with what I'm wearing to practice, okay? I don't know. You ask them, all right? Am I the fucking head coach or not, huh?
Oh, fuck me. I did hurt my ankle.
I just remember so many times watching team periods and you coming up out of a tackle or, you know, running out, you know, kind of jogging out of covering a receiver or whatever, and kind of that patented Kevin, like, limp run. Oh, man. I saw it too many times. It's like a PTSD trigger for me.
Skinny ankles, man. Skinny ankles. What are you going to do?
Tough ankles game. It's funny that Drake is only – he's literally just turned into a live listener of the podcast at this point because he stayed in the call. Did it seem like there was a lot of – and then he just turned his camera on. I hope he's winning money. He might be or not. Did it seem like there was a lot of – he's not winning money, he says. Did it seem like there was a lot of – a lot less pre-snap motion versus Nebby? If so, did something Nebby do make Brian go away from it? Seems like – that was the key the three games prior. I don't know if it was the key. Again,
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I've watched closely enough to give an accurate assessment of that.
I did notice that Nebraska, we didn't do a whole lot of motioning at all. And to be honest, I don't have the greatest grip on the offense either to really tell you, like, one way or another what's determining that. I do know this. I think it's my opinion, you know, the fat, washed up long snapper, that's irrelevant, it's opinion, and I'm being serious about that, that I listen to people who seem to know what they're talking about, when they talk about the NFL and teams like the Rams and the 49ers and the, a big debate recently was actually Orlovsky, your boy Kev, talking about how Bruce Arians isn't giving Tom Brady enough pre-snap motion because he's because one of the things that pre-snap motion does is it helps the quarterback determine if the a little bit of the coverage
man versus zone.
Yeah, man versus zone, and he's having to Tom Brady's having to figure out make that determination post-snap, which if you can take that out of the equation, it's just one less thing a quarterback has to think about, you know, while the clock's ticking. So I think it would help more. And I think football, generally high-powered offenses are, you know, it seems like right now those kind of offenses that score a lot of points and are hard to figure out are the ones that motion a lot. I don't know if we have it.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, it gives the offense a lot of advantages when you motion like that. One, like you said, it can help a quarterback determine coverage. It helps receivers determine coverage too, because they need to know as well. And then two, it helps displace the defense's eyes. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it can sometimes get you off your keys. And two, it makes the defense adjust on the fly. Which, if they don't get everything communicated properly, then you know, someone misses an assignment or is in the wrong gap, then. Well, that's a problem. So,
I don't know about this part of it either, but I have to imagine that a lot of those offenses in the NFL that are using pre-snap motion are a little. They're just more. I think it's my guess that they're more complex.
You think about the Rams, you think about the 49ers and those type of offensive schemes. Yeah,
they have the.
But, you can think about. You know, Wisconsin doesn't do as much anymore, but they were the, you know, back when we played, they were like the most notorious ones for, like, you know, whatever you see them line up in, that ain't going to be the information you're playing against that play. Mm-hmm.
For sure. I imagine in the NFL, the reason that they can do it more is because they have professionals on their team, right? Playing football is their job. So these offenses, these plays, there's a little bit more inventiveness and crossover, right? So you can have a play, for example, they might have calls or a structure in place where any play in the playbook could have a motion added onto it, and wherever a receiver ends up, whether they do motion or they do not motion, depending on what formation they end up in, it changes the route tree mid-play, literally as he's motioning. Okay, now as I'm crossing over to the other side of the field, now I'm running a different route, which meshes with a guy on that side and leaves the other guy on the other side. I don't know if a college offense and the receivers that we have, I don't know if the scheme is that deep for us. I could be completely wrong. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It just feels like there's a lot more kind of impromptu, kind of make it what it is and just go on the fly in the NFL, where they have an answer to whatever they do on offense. So I don't know. I don't, you know, on when I play Madden, I run like the out routes and the slant routes, and those usually work. And occasionally you got to throw in a Hail Mary. And if you're playing 06 with Vince Young, then you run the option and you just run it with Vince Young. But that's not how it works in real life. Before we get to the games, which I haven't even looked at games, so I'm going to pick on the fly. That'll go good. any movement on you guys calling the toolbox game. I don't even know if there's going to be a toolbox game this year. I sure hope there is. I would say after me, you know, calling out one of the players on Twitter, they probably don't want to bring me into the complex. So at this point, I might as well just start fucking calling everybody out. Just, you know, who's next? I don't know. Get someone to talk shit on in the team. We have not heard anything about that, and I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe someday.
Did anyone actually ask them if we could?
I don't think so, and I'm definitely not going to fucking do it now. So, let's just roll it in here, Kevin, to our favorite segment. Win, no matter what. All right. So,
check your phone, Kluber.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, Drake. So we're going to start with Drake's picks just to get out of the way. He sent us his picks, and, of course, in the fashion that he has been doing so as of late, he sent us 6 picks, all NFL, and that'll give you, Kevin, time to kind of look through a couple unless you have them already. But Drake's for the week are the Buffalo Bills at San Francisco, which I believe is technically in Arizona now. Buffalo Bills, -1.5. He's taken the Bills. We are going to go to Las Vegas, and they're playing the Jets, and we're running that fade New York strategy. New York City sucks. We're taking the Las Vegas, -7.5. I love that play, actually. New Orleans, Taysom Hill actually can play quarterback. He's taking New Orleans over Atlanta, who somehow just absolutely pounded. Who did they play?
They beat the Raiders.
They beat the Raiders by like 180 points, just out of nowhere. Made no sense. He's taking the Saints -2.5 against the Atlanta Falcons. He is taking the Cardinals +3 against the Rams. He's taking the Seattle Seahawks -10 against the Giants. And he's taking Green.
Fade the city of New York.
Yep, fade New York City. And the Green Bay Packers -8.5 against Philly. Those are Drake's picks. Kevin, if you want to hit us with your picks and analysis, you can go for it. And I'll try and find a few.
Boys, before Kevin goes, I actually want to completely take away that New Orleans pick because I don't actually like it. Don't bet that one, boys.
Okay. We're taking away the Saints pick, -2.5 against Atlanta. Yeah. It's probably a safe play. It seems like a wonky game with that. That was the weirdest game by the Falcons I've ever seen. But, yeah, Kev, you can go ahead, and then I'll try and find something quicker.
All right, Monday night, I like the Washington football team +9.5 versus the Steelers. Okay. Give me that 10 if you can. Man, the Steelers, they're 11-0. But
playing some close games.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, they just played today in a very unimpressive game against a Ravens team that had to call the team plumber up to play offensive line this week. And they only won that game by 5 points. So, I mean, Washington's actually at 4-7. They're in the NFC East, but they got a decent defense. I think they can hang close in that game. NCAA-wise, I got to do it. Purdue -2, give it to me.
Yeah.
Purdue's kind of had Nebraska's numbers for a while now, so I'm gonna take Purdue. They're at home this week. Nebraska played better last week. Who knows if they'll improve on it? But I don't like that pick either. Purdue just lost her.
No, dude, I'm jumping all better. Over that pick. I'm
you gonna jump on that pick? All right. You take that pick. I'll pick something else.
Okay. I love Purdue -2. I think on another place, it opened at -1. It's actually moved Purdue's way a little bit. I'm jumping all over Purdue -2. I think that is a lock. I think Nebraska – I just don't like Nebraska, and that's where we're going with it. Purdue -2.
All right.
My other college pick for the week is going to be the Cyclones. They're number 9 in the country. They are.
I saw that pick.
They are good.
You taking the spread?
I am taking the spread. I'm going to take Iowa State -6.5 is where I currently see it. All right,
you take the spread. I'll take the under at 50.
I like that. I think they're going to handle West Virginia. But
West Virginia's got a solid defense in the Big 12.
They do.
Only allowing 18 points a game. So I'm going to take the under in that game.
Yeah, I think they're going to allow a little bit more. I think this might be a 24-14 game. But I think the Cyclones cover. I think they're confident. They're the best team, Iowa State team, maybe ever. I don't know if that's true or not.
I mean, show me a better one.
I don't know. They gotta be right, and at least ranking wise, I don't think they've ever been ranked this high, and they're playing confident, and they do seem to be a team that generally I like Matt Campbell as a coach. Brady tweeted about it, and I think that I have always liked Matt Campbell too. I think he's a phenomenal coach. Seems like a guy that I would want to play for way more so than Paul Rhodes or Gene Chizik or Dan McCartney. I would have loved to play for. He was a good coach for Iowa.
Dan McCartney was a cool dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually came and talked to us one time.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Coach Ferentz go way back.
Yeah.
Remember the Hayden Fry team.
Yeah. But that's my other pick. Iowa State -6, Purdue -2. Did you find any others you like?
Yeah. We're going to go with the Scarlet Knights, man, +10
wow.
at home versus Penn State.
Yeah, I like it.
I think they were getting 11 last week versus Purdue, an outright win. So I'll take the Scarlet Knights, man. Shiano's got them playing a lot better football.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, give me that one +10. I got the under in that game. No, what's that, 3 picks a week? We'll make it 4. Let me go find another NFL game. We'll go 2-2.
Okay. I am going to give you my picks. I think that the Raiders just got embarrassed after almost beating the Chiefs for a set. I mean, just how weird is that? They are the only team to beat the Chiefs this year. They go in and make it close again, and then they come out and get stomped by the Falcons, who are a dog shit team. I think they're going to bounce back. I actually think I'm with Drake on this one. I think they murder the Jets at -8, -7.5, whatever it is, wherever you get it. My other pick in the NFL is going to be, I think it's going to be Jacksonville +10 against the Vikings. The Vikings are a weird team as well. They've killed spreads. They've also flopped when they've been favored and not covered. 10 is a lot of points in the NFL, especially for a Minnesota team that's like .500 this year. And Jacksonville has been randomly win a game here and there that they're not supposed to or be close.
I mean, they randomly won the first game of the year. They haven't won since, buddy.
Do they only have one win?
Yeah, they're 1-10 right now, yeah.
Okay, well, I feel like I've bet against them a couple times, and they've covered against me. So now I'm going to bet with them. And you know what? They're going to not cover. So, actually, you know what? I'm going Vikings -10. We just changed the pick. This is how it works. Vikings -10, -20, actually. Fuck the Jaguars. Those are my picks for the week. I don't care.
All right. So, Kluber is taking the alternate spread at -20. Hopefully, it pays out better.
It should. Otherwise, that's not a great lay on my part. But cap us off with another NFL.
Man. This thing up. Ah, man, I don't really like any of these two.
It's tough, dude. The NFL is tough.
So, I mean, the one that stands out to me is Lions +3 because the Bears are just coming apart at the seams.
I mean, what are the Chicago
Bears? But part of me thinks that, like, who knows something I don't know, because I feel like the Lions should be favored by at least a couple points here.
I know, and
I think the Lions are the better football team. There's no doubt about that. Losing their head coach, not great.
Yeah, that's probably what people. That's probably why it's Bears minus three right now, just because of the uncertainty.
Man,
you know what? I agree. And
did you watch the Bears game that they put against the Packers?
The Bears are horrible. The Bears are a MAC team. The Bears should be playing Bowling Green, and I like Mitch Trubisky as a person, and I like a lot of the players on their team, but for some reason, I don't know what it is.
I mean, there's talk that the defense is just done. It's like, we're tired of carrying this fucking team.
I would be too. I mean, there's not a lot to say. I mean, if you're on the Lions there, I'm actually I like that pick too. A little rally.
You know what? You know what? Yeah. Give me the Lions plus three. New guy at the helm. Hopefully, turns things around. Gets a little juice in the building. You know, guys feel a little bit looser. No head coach. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Fuck it. Lions plus three. It's a horrible pick, but I'm playing it.
The Bears. The Bears. That's it. That's all we
by
got.
By less than three. Yeah, here we go.
That's all we got. That's our week. Thank you guys for asking questions. Some of them were, talking about the same stuff. We could answer them forever, but to be honest, every time we get to one of these podcasts, the end of it, it's like, I'm kind of messing with free time here because my wife is just sitting there like, hey, cool, he does a podcast and he keeps talking, he's still talking, is he almost done?
Still not spending time with me, still not giving me attention.
I go to work all day and he sits at home on the computer and I don't even know if he does anything, and then I come home and he's on a podcast. Okay. Uh-huh. Alright. So I might get murdered, who knows. That's it.
Alright.
Iowa versus Illinois, Hawks by a million. Screw the Bears, and probably we bet responsibly and probably pick against everything you said. And that's it. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.